The portion of the Word of God that we read together this evening is Isaiah 55. Isaiah chapter 55, the text for the sermon tonight, is made up of the first two verses. The Word of God at Isaiah 55, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee, because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down in the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For he shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off." So far we read the inspired Scriptures. Let's reread together the first two verses of Isaiah 55. "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness." Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, this evening's sermon is a preparatory sermon for our partaking of the Lord's Supper, the Lord willing, next week Sunday morning. And at the outset, what I'd like to do is demonstrate a connection between the Lord's Supper that we partake of next week Sunday morning and the text that we have before us tonight from Isaiah chapter 55. When we talk about this week, what is the language that we use as we prepare ourselves for the Lord's Supper next week Sunday morning? Often the language that we use is this: we need to prepare ourselves to come to the table of the Lord in the right way. That's really what this week is all about for us. We need to come to that table with our hearts prepared to partake of communion next week Sunday morning. This text that we have before us tonight uses that exact same language. "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters." When we come to the Lord's Supper in the right way next week Sunday morning, really what we are doing, as we will see in the sermon this evening, is exactly what this text tells us to do. God says to us, "Come to the waters." And when we come to the Lord's Supper, we are in a very real way coming to those waters. And to hear, therefore, this command tonight is exactly what will prepare our hearts to do that in the right way next week, Sunday morning. There's a second connection, however, between the words of this text and the sacrament next week, Sunday morning. And that connection is obvious on the surface. What are the elements that are used in the Lord's Supper? Bread and wine. And what do we find in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 1 and 2? Bread and wine. Also water and milk, but nevertheless, bread and wine. And the other connection, very simply, is this. What we see in the sacrament next week, Sunday morning, what is pictured by that bread and wine, which is Jesus Christ Himself and all of the blessings of salvation, is exactly the same thing that is spoken of in this passage before us tonight. What we will see tonight in the first point of the sermon is that the water and the bread and the wine and the milk all point to the blessings of salvation in Christ. And so I say again, by hearing this word, to come to those blessings, we will be preparing ourselves to come in the next week in the right way. The book of Isaiah has two main sections. The second section beginning in chapter 40 with the well-known words of comfort ye, my people. And the rest of the chapters in Isaiah set forth that theme of comfort. Not without some words concerning judgment, but the overall theme is comfort. In a couple of chapters prior to the one that we read tonight, Isaiah 53, we see the one in whom we find our comfort. Really, the reason we can have the comfort of belonging to God, and that has everything to do with the suffering servant of Isaiah chapter 53. Probably what is the clearest foreshadowing of the suffering that Jesus Christ must go through found in the Old Testament. In fact, it's been the practice for the past few times that we've partaken of communion to read that chapter while one of the elements is being passed out to the congregation. So clear and vivid is it in describing what Christ went through. There's a reason that that chapter is found in the second half of Isaiah. Without that suffering servant, there is no comfort for you and I as the children of God. In the chapter that follows, Isaiah 54, we didn't read that tonight, but in that chapter, what the prophet does is explain to us the blessings that we receive because of the work of this suffering servant. In very figurative language, it describes the kingdom of God and the blessings of salvation. In figurative language, very similar to Revelation 21, it talks about the city and this kingdom in which righteousness dwells. And then comes Isaiah 55, right after explaining in a figurative way the blessings that we receive because of Jesus Christ, it says, to the people of God, come to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. And then the end of that, and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight in fatness. Beloved, the main point of this text is that we as the people of God must believe in this Lord Jesus Christ and believe in this God. Come to Him in such a way that we appropriate for ourselves the blessings of salvation. We'll see what that means in the course of this sermon, the Lord willing, and we'll see ultimately what is the end of that, which is delight in what these blessings are, our salvation and life with God. Let's use as our theme this evening, come to the waters. We notice in the first place what, in the second place who, in the third place how, and then in the fourth place to what end. What, who, how, and then to what end. Isaiah 55 is an imperative to the people of God. And the primary calling of the text is to come to the waters. But the passage doesn't just talk about waters. It also talks about, as you can see, wine and milk. And then in the second verse, what is mentioned is bread. And therefore, if we're going to understand what it means to come to the waters and to buy this wine and milk and to eat this bread, we need to know what that is a picture of. What is the wine and milk and bread and water a picture of? We can say at the outset, as I've said already in the introduction, that all of these things are a picture of the blessings of salvation that we have from God in Christ. I'd like to demonstrate that now from Isaiah and as well from the entire Word of God. Let's start with the water. The water is the main figure, and there's a reason that water is the main thing that is set forth in the text, that we are to come to the waters. It's the main figure because it's first, but it's also the main figure because it's fundamental to our existence. We need water to survive. We need water even more than we need bread or milk and certainly wine. If we are to survive in our life here on this earth, we need water. And so that stands as the main figure in the text. Water is a picture of many things, and when we put them together, it's a picture of God Himself and our salvation. Let's see that from the Word of God. Isaiah 44 in the first place. Isaiah 44, verse 3 says this, "For I will pour waters upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my Spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring." So the first part of the passage there says that He will pour water, and then the second part of the passage there identifies what that water is, which is nothing less than the Spirit that God sends to His people. So in this passage, water is a picture of the Spirit of God. Psalm 42. It's a psalm that we just sang from before the sermon tonight. Shows us as well what water is a picture of. As the heart panteth after water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. There, the water there is an identification of God Himself. Our soul longs for water like a deer longs for, well, our soul longs for God as a deer longs for water. One more, John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verse 14. This is the chapter in which Jesus Christ has the discussion with the Samaritan woman. It says in the New Testament that Christ had to go through Samaria. The normal practice back then was to go on the other side of the Jordan and then make it up to Galilee because of the disdain that the people had for the Samaritans. But Jesus said, "I must go through Samaria." And this is why, because of the interaction that He had with the Samaritan woman, where He says in verse 14, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." So you put that all together, what is water a picture of that we can apply to Isaiah 55, our passage this evening? Isaiah 44 says the Spirit. Psalm 42 says God Himself. In John 4 with Jesus' words says that I am the water. The water is a picture of God Himself, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And based on John chapter 4, it becomes very clear that incorporated into the figure of water is all of the blessings of salvation that are found in this God that we have through the Lord Jesus Christ. The fact that we are incorporated into His covenant family and one with God. The fact that we are righteous in the Lord Jesus Christ. The fact that all of our sins are forgiven through His precious blood. The water to which we are to come is God Himself. with all of the blessings of salvation. But the passage goes on to fill out this idea. It's not just water that is mentioned in Isaiah 55, but it's also wine and milk and bread. And although these are not the fundamental necessities for existence, nevertheless, they are good for our nourishment. Milk and bread are that which give us strength. So not only do we need existence, but we need strength. And so this is a talking about the things that keep us going in our life and those aspects of our salvation that spiritually strengthen us. Think, for example, of what 1 Peter 2 verse 2 says about milk. 1 Peter 2 verse 2 says, "And as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." John 6 verse 35 says something about bread. Well-known passage about what Jesus says concerning Himself. He says in verse 35 that, "I am the bread of life, and he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." We need Jesus Christ. Very similar, obviously, to the figure of water. And then wine, of course, always adds an element. Not only do we need to exist as Christians, have our life and our strength, but when we have those things, there's also joy involved. And that's always what wine is a picture of in the Scriptures. Two passages to demonstrate that. Psalm 104, verse 5, verse 15. Psalm 104, verse 15, "And wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart." Wine that maketh heart of man glad. And then Ecclesiastes 9, verse 7. Same idea. "Go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, and drink thy wine with a merry heart, for God now accepteth thy works." So you put that all together, beloved. Took some time there to look at other passages of Scripture to show us what these things are pictures of. You put it all together, and it's a picture of God, Christ, and that which strengthens us in our life as Christians here on this earth. Now, the main point of the text is with respect to all of those things, God says to us, come to those waters and buy that milk and that wine and eat of that bread as the people of God. What that means, very simply, beloved, is that we are to believe in this God. We are to go to Him and appropriate Him for ourselves. Very similar to the passage in the New Testament where Jesus says in Matthew 11, verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." There the figure is that of a burden, the burden of sin. And Christ says to us, "Come to me. I am the way in which this burden of sin is removed." Well, in our passage, the figure is that of the blessings of salvation and God Himself. And He says to us, "Come to me." That is to say, believe in me. And in the way of believing in me, receive for yourself the blessings of salvation. If we are to do that, we need to be where the wine, bread, milk, and water is. And where God is nothing less than the church of Christ itself. The chief way, the preaching of the gospel, is what sets forth the things that we just talked about. The things that the wine, bread, and milk, and water are a picture of. That's found in especially one place here in the church of God. And as that gospel is proclaimed, if you as the people of God are going to come to God and receive those blessings of salvation, you need to be where they are. And this is where they are. week after week after week after week. Coming to the waters and eating and drinking the bread, wine, and milk is a coming to church and sitting under the preaching of the gospel and believing that gospel that is proclaimed and claiming for yourself the blessings of salvation. There's another place in which these things are found that we need to go to. And it's exactly this, which we celebrate next week Sunday morning, the sacraments. It's exactly what takes place in the sacrament. The bread and the wine and the milk are pictured in this. And by partaking of the sacrament, what we are doing is making for ourselves these blessings of salvation and strengthening our souls by these means. Fulfilling this word is not only involved coming to the church on the Lord's Day and hearing that gospel, it also is this, coming to the Lord's table and eating and drinking spiritually by faith the Lord Jesus Christ. A couple of points about this command that we find in this text. Number one, it's emphatic. The prophet is very intent on driving this home to the people. And that's indicated by the very first word, ho. We read that and it may sound a little different to us to begin a sentence with ho, but you get the idea. When you very, in an exclamatory way, say that ho, you get the people's attention. And that's the point. This is important for the people of God to hear. Come to the waters. And also, that's made clear in the later part of the text when he says, hearken diligently unto me and eat that which is good. This is something that's important. Be diligent and listen to what I am saying. So that in the first place concerning this command, we don't take this lightly. This is something that God wants us as the church of Christ to hear. The second thing is that this is something that we need to hear and do continually in our Christian life. There's a certain form of a verb that indicates that in the text with respect to the command that is given to come. The form of the verb indicates that this is an ongoing activity. This is not something that is only exclaimed once in the mission field. But this is something that is exclaimed in the church of Jesus Christ many, many times. And you as the people of God and myself as a child of God need to heed this word over and over again. Come to God and believe in that God and receive the blessings of salvation, because you understand that in the way of hearing this call to come to me, in the way of hearing that, God grants the blessing to do it and to receive Him and feast on the blessings of salvation. Who is it that is to come according to the text? Text identifies clearly who it is. It does so in two ways. The first is this, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. So the people that do what this text says are those in the first place who thirst. Now remember what the figures were all about, God and the blessings of salvation. Those who go to Him and receive Him are those in the first place who thirst. And this is very significant and something we must not overlook in this text, because it identifies very clearly who is able to do this and who in fact does do this and why this is still a command that comes to you as the church of God. The one who thirsts is alive. The one who thirsts is cognizant of the fact that he is thirsty and hungry and in need of water and bread and milk and wine. That's of course true for us with physical life. A dead person is not thirsting. A dead person doesn't need milk and wine and bread. Someone who is alive, who is struggling, who knows they need something are those who thirst and are hungry. Now take that and apply that to the spiritual realm that we are talking about, and it becomes very clear that those who come and those who are thirsty and those who are hungry are those who are alive spiritually. This is the Word of God to those in whom God has worked spiritual life. You as the people must be thirsty and hungry for God. And the very reason that you are thirsty and hungry for God is because you know the greatness of your sin and misery. That's what the week of self-examination is all about for the Lord's Supper next week, Sunday morning. It's all about looking at yourself and saying, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from the power of this death?" It's about saying exactly what is implied in this text. I'm thirsty. Without this God and this Christ and this salvation, I would perish and I die. Text makes clear, therefore, that the ones who do this are the ones in whom God has worked life, causing them to be thirsty. And that, of course, is consistent with what we find, for example, in John 44, because what this highlights is that we don't come to God, come to the waters, believe on Him, receive for ourselves the blessings of salvation in and of ourselves. We can't do that in and of ourselves. It's on account of the work of God in us. And that's consistent, for example, with what we find in John 6, verse 44, which says, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." No man can go to God, believe in Him, and receive Him in and of himself. It's those in whom He works life so that they are thirsty and hungry for the living God. And beloved, take comfort in that too. Take comfort in knowing that if you sit here this evening and are thirsty and hungry and long for this God and for Christ and salvation, that's an evidence that God has made you alive. You wouldn't do that if you were not alive by the Spirit of God in you. The second identification of those who carry out this command in the text is found when it says, "He that hath no money." Oh, right at the beginning there. "Ho, everyone that thirsteth," that's what we just talked about, "come ye to the waters." And then here's another identification of who the text is talking about, "He that hath no money." Now, the text talks about money and labor. The money of the text and the labor of the text are basically what we do in and of ourselves. The second verse makes that clear. "Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not?" What the text is talking about is what we do at times in our lives to satisfy this thirst and this hunger in and of ourselves. The second verse makes clear that if you try to take your own money and go out and buy something for your hunger and for your thirst, it won't satisfy. And the truth is that that's us all in one way or another. That at times in our lives we see our sin and our misery, and part of us wants to take our own money, spiritually speaking, and our own labor, and use that to satisfy our need. All of us have an Arminian in our heart, or a Roman Catholic in our heart, which says that I can do that in and of myself. That was always the case in the Old Testament. That's what it came down to with, for example, the armies in the Old Testament when they went out to fight. Every time they went out to fight on their own strength and said, "I'm going to defeat the enemies on my own strength," then they were defeated. You can't satisfy your need in and of yourself. And it's found in our lives, for example, too, when take the sermon from this morning, talking about knowledge. When we look at our great need that we have, why we are hungry and thirsty, and why we have a longing for these blessings, we can look at the knowledge that we have and say, that's what satisfies it. Just the fact that I know the truth, you put your trust in the knowledge instead of putting your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. There's all sorts of different ways that we can, as it were, use our own money and our own labor to satisfy the need. What the text makes clear is that the one who actually does come is he that hath no money. The one that says, I can't do anything of myself to receive God and Christ and the blessings of salvation. And that's why this is so fitting for a preparatory text. Because if we're going to come to the Lord's Supper in the right way next week, we need to come as those who have no money. As those who say, I am worthless in and of myself. The who in the text is this, the one that thirsteth, the one who has spiritual life, but also this, the one who knows that they're nothing in and of themselves. They're the ones who come and eat and are satisfied. The how of the text is very simply the fact that we are to come to God in the Lord Jesus Christ. What's interesting in the text is that we are to come as those who have no money, but at the same time it says, ye are to buy and eat, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. So we don't have any money of ourselves. There's this wine and this bread and this milk that is received without price, but yet it is bought, it says, by the wine and the milk, but without money and without price. What's this saying? What it's saying is that we can't do it in and of ourselves, but at the same time, it had to be purchased. There is a purchase price for these blessings of salvation, and the purchase price is what Jesus Christ did on our behalf. It's the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ came and went to that cross and died on that cross for you and for me. We don't have water, bread, wine, and milk without all of those things being purchased through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so we buy, it says. But we don't buy with our own money and what we can do. We buy with what is given to us, the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we come? We come to God, clinging by faith to Christ. Do that in this week as you examine yourself and as you prepare to come to the Lord's Supper next week in every aspect of your life, and especially as it relates to your own sins. Go to God. Come to God and only do so by saying, I bring nothing of myself, but I bring before Thee, O God, the Lord Jesus Christ, to stand on my behalf for the forgiveness of my sins. We buy. We come to God and buy with that which has been given to us, Jesus Christ. And the great end of that is what we find at the end of verse 2. When ye eat that which is good, and it certainly is good, let your soul delight itself in fatness. Fatness there can also be translated as abundance. The point is this, when you come, when you drink the water and eat the bread, your soul will delight in abundance. Believe on this God. Receive Him for yourself. Say concerning these blessings of salvation, they're mine. I know that I have nothing of myself, and it's all in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the fruit of that is an enjoyment of what God has done for us. And it is an abundance, beloved. It's not a trickle of water, but it's a stream of water. It's not a few parcels of bread, but it's beautiful loaves of bread. It's not just a drop of wine, but it's glasses of wine. And it's pure, tasty milk. There's nothing more beautiful than the blessings of salvation that we have in Christ. There's nothing in which we can take more joy and delight in than the fact that we have God, and we have Christ, and we have the forgiveness of sins. Come to Him. Come to the Lord's Supper the next week, the Lord willing. Believe in Him and receive those blessings of salvation, and let your soul delight in that abundance. Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, pray that we might come in the right way next week. And in the way of coming, our souls might be satisfied with the blessings of salvation in Christ. We're thankful for this word, and we pray that it might prepare us in this week to come to the Lord's Supper in the right way the next week, according to thy will. Forgive our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen.